Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation Podcast with Steve Warren and the coach, Greg Kennedy.
Hold on. Shane Pinto. Now Pinto driving it on. Scores!
Well, there is a nice goal. Shane Pinto with his ninth goal of the season on Wednesday night. That cut the Rangers' lead to 2-1. But that was all she wrote. A 3-1 loss to the Rangers. So that dramatic two-game win streak comes to a close. Be game two of a home-and-home series with the Rangers and the Big Apple on Friday night. But we'll talk about that game coming up today here on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. We'll also discuss some of the D-zone coverage we saw in that Ranger game. Alex Formanton is not going to be playing hockey in the National Hockey League this year. His deadline has come and gone as of today, as we're recording this here on Thursday, December the 1st. That and a whole lot more coming up today here on the show. It's Steve Warren along with the coach, Greg Kennedy, and welcome to December, Greg.
Oh, yes. I'm loving this weather. Aren't you loving this, Steve? It's no snow. It's just gorgeous. It was a little cold today, but if winter holds off like this, I'm actually starting to believe in global warming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's certainly nice and green. I'll say that.
And I'll tell you what.
Yes. I've got here my son's chocolate advent calendar that should be starting today. And
look at that.
Yeah, isn't that nice? But look at that. They're all empty because it's sitting right here beside my desk and has been for the last 4 days, and I've been slowly whittling away at it. So I've got to get him a replacement chocolate advent calendar here after the show. Oh,
you were eating it.
Me. Yes, exactly.
Oh, I thought Michael got a hold of it early.
No, it was me. I admit it. But I promised to get him a new one here before the end of the day here on December 1st. But we should launch in today. One of the nice things about December being upon us, I got to say, and don't get me wrong, it is a wonderful cause. But I think I've had about enough of watching all the cheesy mustaches for Movember on the Ottawa Senators roster. How about you?
I agree completely. You know, I spent 5 seasons coaching in the what is now the Myers AAA. It used to be the Ottawa Senators AAA minor hockey there. And every year they would hire a cameraman who would come out and do games and practices of the team, take pictures. But he always did it in November. So every year I get these pictures of me on the bench or on the ice at practice, and I'd have this stupid mustache, and they're just ruined. They're just terrible pictures. I look okay with the goatee, I think, but not with a mustache. And I agree with you. It's some of the guys who grow them, like, good on you, but like, don't, you know, just give it up. Somebody looks like Crosby. Who is it that I keep seeing? And every time I see him, Logan Couture.
Okay.
Like, he looks like Sid when Sid tries to grow a mustache.
Yeah, there's a few in the Sens locker room where it's good try. Good try. I got to say, Jake Sanderson has been a real revelation for this team. He has been absolutely crucial, and we want to talk about that. It's an interesting tweet that Jason York, our good pal, former senator, had earlier today about Jake Sanderson and what they might have done without him. But I'd say he has the mustache. He's the mustache champion. I'll put it that way. I think he wins.
Really?
Yeah. At the age of 20, he put on. Yeah. It's the best one I saw. Did you see a better one?
Holden was pretty good.
Yeah. He dyed his. He dyed his.
You know who the best was?
Polish on it. What's that?
The best ever was Dylan DeMello.
Oh, yeah.
That guy grew a stash.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was pretty much your winner by November 3rd.
It was over. Italian. He's got Italian in him.
I suppose so.
Right?
Anyway, great cause, and glad they raised some money, and so that was cool. But let's get to the game from yesterday. And before we sink our teeth into what we thought of the 3-1 loss to the Rangers, let's find out what DJ Smith, who is back on the hot seat again after a modest 2-game winning streak, let's find out what DJ Smith thought about what was missing from his roster in the 3-1 loss.
Execution, you know, I think offensively. We had chances to shoot where we didn't shoot, maybe too cute. In a 2-1 game, and you're passing up, you know, some grade A looks, you know, and then it's 3-1, you're squeezing it. But, I just didn't think we got to the net enough.
You
you mentioned at 2-1 you felt like you passed up some chances. You guys had a power play there at 2-1. What did you see out of that group in that 2 minutes? Cause it just kind of felt like they didn't quite seize the moment.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the power play's been good. I mean, that's, you know, the penalty kill did a good job over there. But, you know, we had a couple good looks, and whether they blocked them or we didn't shoot, we didn't make the goalie save it. And I think, you know, in those opportunities, you got to make the goalie save the puck.
How did you feel the energy of the group was tonight?
You know what? I thought we battled hard. I didn't think there was a lot of room out there. Give the Rangers credit for how hard they played away from the puck, the way they tracked. They had lost 3 in a row. You know, I thought we had a real good first period. You know, I think it could go either way. We just, you know, they got to the net on us and tipped. You know, I think they tipped all 3 in. And, you know, we got to knock people down.
The shot that Broussard was on the line, did you think it was going to get reviewed?
Well, they called right from the back that it was no goal. But, you know, the difference is they tipped 3 in and we didn't.
There's DJ Smith after the game. And I think he summed up most of the thoughts I would have. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't get enough action at the opponent's net, and they didn't do a very good job picking up guys in front of their own net, which is what leads inevitably to these tips and deflections that end up being the difference in the hockey game. It's just an ongoing issue of guys just, you know, being allowed to just linger around the Sens net, and that always leads to trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest point that DJ made was we didn't knock enough people down, or we didn't knock people down. He's absolutely right. The net front presence of the Senators in front of their own net is nowhere near strong enough, has never been strong enough, or hasn't been for the last few years anyway. Sticks score goals, this just in. You need to tie up sticks in front of your net. And even when there are guys there, standing there and cross-checking somebody in the back isn't tying up a stick. Sticks score goals. You need to tie up sticks. You need to be on people and close enough to people that you can lift a stick or press down on a stick or do something to control those things from happening. And it was a couple of them were there, but they're not really picking the guy up or tying up a stick. And the other one was nobody was there. Like I think of the third goal where Kreider was all alone.
There was so much room for the shot coming in from the point, and Kreider was all alone. And if you've seen the video of it, you see there's just a miscommunication. It looks like both Zub and the center down low, because Shabbat is starting, is kind of half-heartedly chasing his guy up toward the point. Stutzla is down low taking his spot, and Zub is there as well. And both of them fade away exactly at the same time from Kreider, and Kreider's left wide open. I didn't like that, obviously. It happens, miscommunications. It just happens to this team way too much. What I really hated, though, was seeing a 20-year-old kid in Stutzla turning around and full-on blaming Zub. I mean, I have a big problem with that. That's something that can really erode chemistry when guys are so openly blaming teammates on the ice like that. Stutzla gets a little too emotional for my liking in the midst of games. What did you think?
I thought exactly what you just said, that we talk about body language. You always want to talk about body language with hockey players, the shrug of the shoulders, the slamming of the stick, the rolling of the head. And you had all of it there. He threw his arms up in the air. He rolled his head across his shoulders. And he turned around and looked right at Zub. And it's one thing to think that somebody else screwed up. It's one thing to think, hey, I'm innocent here, it's your fault. But it's another thing to let all 18,000 people in the building and who's ever watching it on TV know that you think that. Yeah. And that's where you get in trouble, right? Zub may feel guilty. Maybe it was his fault. Maybe whatever. It doesn't matter in the big picture. Because in the big picture, you see an erosion of camaraderie. And that's not good.
You got to be a pro. I mean, you're 20 and you cut the guy some slack for sure, but it's something to be nipped in the bud right now. He does so many wonderful things out there, and I'm excited to watch him for the next 8 years. Don't get me wrong. But in the learning process, in the development as a pro, you can't be going with that little, I'm 7 years old having a tantrum facial expression, which comes out like half a dozen times every single night. And you certainly can't be going at your teammates like that and flat out blaming them. That's something that needs to be addressed either by the coach or by the guys sort of pseudo mentoring, that being Brady Tkachuk.
But that's, it's one more thing though, Steve, that is controllable from the player's perspective and from the coach's perspective. That's a teachable moment. Mm-hmm. And there's been too many of them that have obviously gone by again without somebody teaching him. Like, put together a video pack of all of his bad body language and bad facial expressions and sit down with him in the video room and say, look, this cannot continue. This can't happen. And if it means bringing in the teams, there's a sports psychologist working with the team. Something like that needs to happen. The coach needs to step in. The video needs to happen. A discussion has to happen. And some help needs to be given here. And some other outlet needs to be found for Tim Stützle to express his frustration.
It feels to me like they're in an adjustment period right now where it's affecting the offense too. Like, they didn't really get much going on around the Ranger net at all. There weren't many moments where I said, wow, this is a wild, sustained pressure. The Rangers did a really good job. You give them credit. But I wonder, Greg, are they in a stage, all these young players that have all this skill and they're just getting hammered over the head daily by the coaching staff, by the media, by social media, that they got to be better defensively? And that's maybe taking a bit of the wind out of their offensive sails?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. You look at it, you say, okay, they've got so much firepower. And when they were winning and when they were playing well, they were scoring goals in bunches. Like, remember their third period scoring was through the roof there during that homestand. Mm-hmm. And no lead seemed to be safe. They were coming back with 2 and 3 goals in third periods and stuff. And now it's like they struggle to score. And that, I mean, it just makes it all the more worse, all the more hard to deal with. If you can't stop them and you can't score either, you're really in trouble. And I thought Simmer had the expression that he uses, and I agree with it. I used it myself a few times. It was a leg day for Halak. Like, nothing up top, nothing up high. Didn't really have to move his upper body all night long. Everything was just a pad save here and a pad save there, and kick that one out, kick this one out. It was a pretty easy day. They didn't make it difficult for Halak. They didn't really make it difficult for the Ranger defense. It was all Swedish, no finish. I just, like DJ said, they're passed up opportunities. I don't know whether that's because they feel snake bitten. They don't know what to do on offense. I don't get it, because they've got the offensive firepower. They have the skill level. They've got finishers. And it just, there are nights when it's like they look like they couldn't score to save their lives.
All right, let's get on to the story that the media is generally trying to avoid. Not everybody, but it feels like everybody is just, I don't know, afraid to talk about it, maybe worried about ruffling feathers with the team and worried about accreditation, maybe worried about, you know, doing something legally inappropriate and things they say. And I'm talking about the Alex Formanton story. And I'll say this tongue in cheek, Formanton has decided not to play in the NHL this season. The Sens just could not come up with an offer that was to his liking, and so he's decided he's not going to play in the NHL. He's really sticking to his guns here. What a tough negotiation that was. Yes, I'm being quite sarcastic. I honestly don't believe there were ever, ever any serious negotiations of any kind that went down between Formanton and the Sens. I think the Sens didn't want to touch this story with a 10-foot pole. But the story today is, here on Thursday, December 1st, as the rules go, Formanton was not signed as an RFA by an NHL club by 5 o'clock today, and thus he is ineligible to play in the league this season. And quite clearly, I think, the Senators just, they don't want to make any moves with this guy. They don't want to do anything with him until they see what happens with the NHL investigation as to what happened in the 2018 Hockey Canada incident. And once they get clarity on that, then they'll make some kind of decision. But I found it almost laughable the way this was being discussed in the media, the way the Senators were portraying it. Yeah, it's just, you know, we'll see if we can get him done. We can get this contract done before training camp starts. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing to report other than that. Okay, please just be level with us. Tell us what's really going on.
Well, you know what would have made it really interesting is that of all the players on the team who were on that club, You take the total number, you subtract all those players who have made a statement that said, I wasn't there, or I had nothing to do with it, or I've done nothing illegal or whatever. You're left with X number. And that number seems to mirror the exact number of players that we are told were involved, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Then imagine if out of those, maybe two or three of them were free agents, not just Formanton.
Right.
Right. Then I'd really be interested in seeing what would happen if there were more guys who were free agents and none of them got signed. That's really sending a message. But because it's only the one, because this is a team that's made some acquisitions, acquired this guy, picked up that guy, signed this guy, the value that Formanton, the amount of money that the Senators would be willing to pay him is less than probably what he thinks he's worth. So you can still fall back on the argument of, you know, we just couldn't get a contract, or, you know, the Senators were offering too little money or too little term. But if there was more guys and none of them signed, then you could definitely say, yeah, this ties into that situation fully. And even with what we know, I agree with you. This is clearly a case of the Senators don't want to do anything here. They just want to wait and see what happens. And that's what they're doing. I believe that fully.
I think they have confidence in the information they have on the situation.
Yeah, well said.
They have confidence on in who they suspect and who they don't. And that's obviously driving their decision making here, or, you know, lack of doing anything on this story until they know more. I hear a lot of people saying, well, you don't want another Mitchell Miller situation like the Boston Bruins had and have that blow up in your face. It's totally different to me, because the Bruins should have known everything about the Miller case, and the Bruins still blew that one. In this case, I feel like it's until you know what's going on for sure, I feel like you could have gone forward and said, here's a one-year contract, but if this thing goes sideways, you're not playing for the Ottawa Senators anymore. If you communicate well and you're transparent, you're not trying to spin things, I think that fans would have been okay with that in the big picture. Maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea, but I just feel like that in my heart of hearts, that if you're open and transparent from day one and react accordingly and do the right thing if you need to, then I think most people are okay with that.
I don't know. I think it would be the other way. I think the negative reaction to signing him, regardless of how you tried to present it to people, I think the negative reaction would have been overwhelming. I think there would have been a lot of it. I can't help thinking that, Steve. I see your point, and I would agree with you that if we're going to do this, and this is why, and this is what we think, and this is the information we have, and this player is this and means this, so we're going to sign him for that. I get that, but I still think the negative reaction would be really, really strong. And I kind of agree with what they've done here. Again, assuming that I'm correct in what I think they've done here, I truly believe that they just don't want to touch it and they're nervous, and therefore they kind of let things slide and didn't really pursue it hard to re-sign Alex Formanton. And I agree with that decision.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. And everybody's going to handle it in their own way. I always try and formulate decision based on innocent until proven guilty. And I certainly would take that one step farther and say innocent until, well, accused of something publicly. And what we do know is that London police investigated the case and didn't pursue it. We know Hockey Canada invested the case and didn't pursue it. And that's the rock hard information that I have right now.
Yep. I see your point. I think we agree to disagree. How's agreed. That? Doesn't happen agreed often.
Yeah,
you know, normally we agree with each other way too much.
I don't think we do at all. How about that? Anyway, let's take a time out on the program. When we come back, Greg is going to be our Sens trivia master. We got some other interesting news as well. Jason York asked a very interesting question on Twitter that I want to get to as well. And it's coming up after these words.
Jim K. Ford Lincoln is turning 40, and to celebrate, they're giving you a gift. It's Truck Days, and to thank you for 40 years of support, Jim K. is offering up to $3,000 in factory order rebates. No matter what it is you have to do, make, move, or create, there's a Ford truck built for you. Come celebrate four decades of Jim K. by ordering your brand new Maverick, Ranger, or F-150 your way. Secure your order today. Get started at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Did you know that Ottawa's very own Dunrobin Distilleries
has been winning prestigious awards internationally for their spirits. It is true. Their gins won gold and silver earlier this year out of the UK. And their whiskey, oh, my favorite, came in second place as the best Canadian whiskey in the country. Pick up some Dunrobin Spirits today at various LCBO locations across the province or buy directly from their website at dunrobindistilleries.com. Before we get away from Alex Formanton now, do you think he's... Where do you think he plays hockey this year? Is it KHL? Is he just going to sit on the couch? What is he going to do anything?
Well, I mean, it depends if he wants to play. If he wants to play, he could certainly play in the K. I can see that happening. Other options are, I mean, he could play in Sweden. He could play in Finland. He could play in any league in Europe. Mm-hmm. I got to believe he's going to Europe. He can't not play. He cannot afford to take a year off. He's got to play somewhere.
All right, Nikita Zaitsev has been called up again. Darren Dreger saying it's just for depth's sake, Anyway, he's up, and I'm not too worried about it at this stage of the game, one way or the other. DJ Smith loves him some Nikita Zaitsev, but Jason York had an interesting question that I wanted to ask you about, and it's about the blue line, and he threw it out there. Hey, what exactly was the game plan if Jake Sanderson was not ready to play top 4 minutes this year? I mean, when you combine that with the injury, it was fairly long term. It was, you know, well over a month with Artem Zub, and Shabbat missed a bunch of time. Like, the Sens only have 8 wins right now with Jake Sanderson. If Sanderson weren't ready, and he is a rookie, we talked about him in the summer. So are we sure Jake Sanderson is going to be ready? We know he's going to be a stud someday, but defense take such a long time, generally speaking, to develop into top 4 defensemen. There's at least a chance that Sanderson wouldn't have been ready, and wouldn't it have been a god-awful mess if he weren't the player that he is right out of the gate, Greg?
Yeah, like, look at how difficult it's been for Pierre Dorion to acquire another top 4 defenseman that he's been trying to do this for so long now. Just imagine it. Like, good question, Yorkie. I don't know that I'd ever even thought about it until you pointed the tweet out to me. Like, what would the solution have been? Could you imagine? And especially Pierre's track record. I'm sure he pictured Eric Brännström being in his top 4 by now. Yeah. So that didn't work out so well. You know, the acquisition of Holden was not to be a top 4. Travis Hamonic, he's playing in the top 4, but he's not really a top 4. Like, where would they be? And where would you have been able to find anyone when you can't find anyone? And we all know you can't. So who would it be? Like, my God, you're absolutely right. Kudos to Yorkie for that.
Yeah, he went on to say, you can't win in this league consistently with a below average defensive core and your top 2 centers are 20 years of age and the other is a rookie. I don't care how good your wingers are. And when you put it in those terms, I know we've spent a lot of time giving it to DJ Smith, and I think, again, I feel like we're 3 weeks at least past the time when you should have made a change there. But when you start to think about it in those terms, there's no lack of blame to go around. I don't think Pierre Dorion, despite the summer of Pierre, is void of blame here.
Well, I don't know that it's blame. Yes and no. It's blame and not. I mean, he couldn't get what he wanted. He couldn't quite get that last piece that he knew he needed. You can't blame him for, I assume he's been trying, so you can't blame him for, like you can't sit here and say he hasn't even tried, because we know he has. Whether it hasn't happened because he's afraid to bite the bullet and trade somebody, or it hasn't happened because he just hasn't found the right guy, I don't know what the answer to that is, but we know he's tried everything he can, and the blue line, just as it's constructed now, is not strong enough. He's given DJ a better team, but it's still not quite there. And I think we all kind of sort of knew that from the start of the year when you looked at the blue line from 4, 5, 6, 7, D, those bottom 4 or 5 guys are just, they're interchangeable parts, and they'd all be playing 5, 6 minutes anywhere else.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, that Pierre Dorion didn't do some good things in the summertime. He did.
Right.
I'm just, my only thought here is that it's not a perfect scenario. There were mistakes made here as well. Like, I'm starting to look at the Connor Brown thing more and more. Like, he's just exactly the kind of forward that can chip in offensively, but do all the right things out there defensively as well. I start to wonder about Paul versus Matthew Joseph. It's not all on DJ Smith. I think it's time for a new coach, but I think it's not all on DJ Smith.
Yeah, and I look at those deals you just mentioned, the Paul deal and the Brown deal, and I can't help thinking, could you not have gotten a defenseman? Mm-hmm. You know, could you not have who's the one defenseman that did leave Tampa? No, I can't think. It was not McDonough, the other one. Aruta, right?
Okay.
Aruta was a pending free agent, and they ended up letting him go. Could he not have been a piece you could have got out of Tampa instead of Joseph? Was there not a defenseman instead of the draft pick that maybe you could have finagled with Washington? Maybe you would have had to throw something else in. But was there not a way to get the defenseman in one of those two deals? I don't know.
I've seen the last week or so a lot of people suggesting that the Uber focus on Jacob Chychrun may have had Pierre Dorion take his eye off of other possibilities. So focused on Chychrun that he's missing out on guys like Marino. What do you think of that theory?
Well, I don't believe that. I believe they would have a book on all the defensemen that they'd be thinking about. They would have a list. Would they have prioritized Chychrun higher on that list than others? Yes. But I don't think that means they didn't pursue others. They would constantly be looking to upgrade at all times, every day of every week, all year round, in season, off season. If something was there that they could have made happen, I don't think the possibility of maybe getting Jacob Chychrun later would have prevented them from getting somebody now.
Right. You know what time it is, Greg? It is time for Sens Trivia. And it's brought to you by Kodiak Security Systems. And today I'm the victim. You're the quizmaster. How many seconds will I get?
I'll give you 20.
20 seconds to answer today's Sens Trivia question. If I'm able to do it, Greg will disarm the Kodiak security system. And if I fail, the alarm goes off and I lose, and the listeners, and if you want, Greg, can mock me until your throats are sore. Question today is...
The Senators joined the NHL, rejoined, however you want to word it, in 92-93. This is their 40th season. In that time frame, they, of course, have been to the Stanley Cup Final once, lost to Anaheim, what was it, 2007, Steve?
That's right.
Okay. Yep, you got it right. Well done. No. In that time frame, in that 40-year period, the Senators made the Stanley Cup Final, as I said, but seven teams who are in the NHL today have not been to a Stanley Cup Final in that 40-year period. Do you think you could name four or five of them? What do you want, four or five?
I've got four off the top of my head.
Oh, well, then you've got 20 seconds to name all of them.
Oh, okay.
Go.
Arizona.
Correct.
Columbus.
Correct.
Seattle.
Correct.
Minnesota.
Correct.
Florida did early.
That's right. Florida lost to Colorado in 96. You are missing a big one, my friend, and people are really going to mock you.
Really?
Yeah.
Toronto.
Yay! There you go. Okay, there. So that's five.
The Jets?
Yes, that's six.
I'm not even looking at the standings right now to see all the teams. I'm sure there's one.
And I think your time is up. Come on.
No, I'm sure it is. So I think that I'm going to call that a win. Good for me.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Who did I miss?
The New York Islanders.
The New York Islanders. Dang.
Their last Stanley Cup final would have been 1984 when they lost to the Edmonton Oilers.
Damn. All right. That's our Sens Trivia for today. And of course, it's brought to you by Kodiak Security Systems. Hey, keep your family and business safe and secure with Kodiak Security Systems, proudly local, family-owned, and celebrating their 40th year serving Ottawa. They provide and install advanced electronic security systems and other life-saving services. Make sure your family is safe at home and your place of business is secure 24/7. See them today at kodiaksecurity.ca. They're at 2801 Riverside Drive, Greg.
There's a bear in there.
Nicely done. There is a bear.
I moved away from the mic.
Nicely done. Nicely done. I can hardly bear it. See what I did there?
Oh,
sorry.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay. The Senators will take on the New York Rangers in the Big Apple on Friday, December 2nd. That is their next action. They get the Sharks again on the weekend. And, yeah, see if they can get another big role again of two games. I'm trying not to be jaded. I love this team so freaking much. And I let the emotions get the better of me sometimes. So I apologize if I get down and negative on the team from time to time. It's just, how can you not a little bit?
I think they're going to win both of them.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
All right. Well, I think they'll go 1-1. Okay. Lose in New York, and they will beat the Sharks. With that, we'll call it a day. Don't forget, our website is SensNationHockey.com. We appreciate you being here today, and we shall talk to you next time. Thanks, Greg.
Good night.
Thanks for being with us on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and review. Share the show with your friends and followers, or become a member on Patreon. Check out our website today at SensNationHockey.com.